Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. Let's talk college baseball. All right, Kyle, how's it going?
It's going well. We're about a month out from college baseball starting, so I'm really excited for this new season.
The best news you could possibly get right now. Pretty exciting stuff. And the world's longest offseason finally coming to an end.
The longest offseason in history.
All right, we got a lot we want to run through today. We just released our college baseball top 50 on the website recently, and we want to go through some of our notable teams in that. Talk a little bit about conference scheduling. We've learned a lot in the last week, and I think we'll learn a lot more in the next week about what conferences are going to be doing. And then we have started to see some schedules published. So we're going to talk about our favorite games that are going to be played on opening weekend. All right, though, let's start it off with the college baseball top 50. We're going to run through the top 10 and then pick some favorite teams throughout. So at number one, we have Florida. Two right behind them, UCLA. Three, Texas Tech. So we have SEC, Pac-12, Big 12 right in a row. All three of those schools we have as probably favorites for their respective conferences. Behind the trio, we have a run of SEC schools. Vanderbilt, number four. Ole Miss, number five. Arkansas, number six. Then back to the ACC with actually highest ranked ACC team we have is Louisville. Number eight, Mississippi State. And so if the season were to end with that, and that was the top eight that got to the College World Series, we would have one Pac-12 school, one ACC school, one Big 12 school, and five SEC schools. After that, for us, things get a little bit crazier. So we have number nine, TCU, and number 10, Virginia, both of those schools making pretty big jumps from the end of the 2020 season. So, Kyle, what stands out to you about that top 10?
Yeah, a team I really like out of the top 10 is Arkansas at number six. They had an interesting 2020 season. They started off hot because they ended 2019 hot also, with a lot of hype going into 2020. And then they lost two or three of the games from the Shriners Classic and did not end on a good note. But they bring back a lot of talent, as every team in the country does this year with the shortened five-round draft. But they bring back, I think, all of their rotation from last year. Yeah, Patrick Wicklander, Connor Noland, and Cole Ramage. They'll be back from last year's rotation with some other young guys for a starting spot, including former University of Houston Friday night starter Leo Lockhart. Don't know how to pronounce that. Sorry, Mr. Lockhart.
Last name's easier than the first name there.
Exactly, yep. So, yeah, we're looking forward to a good set of pitching for Arkansas. They're usually known for their lead offense. And they'll still be good on offense, of course, because Dave Van Horn likes to coach them up pretty good. But their pitching will be a lot better than years past, much more consistent than Arkansas fans have expected. They've also got a really good middle infield combo. Robert Moore, who is a highly touted player from last year as a freshman, he'll play second base, and Jalen Battles will make up the middle infield. I imagine they'll switch off every once in a while, but Jalen Battles will play short because he's played primarily short most of his life, according to Dave Van Horn. And Robert Moore has played kind of all around the infield. So they have a really good infield. And then Christian Franklin, we have ranked as our 13th best prospect in college baseball, draft eligible prospect in college baseball. He's a stud outfielder with a really good bat. So Arkansas brings back a lot of talent for 2021. Expect them to make a push for the SEC crown. They're behind a lot of SEC teams, though. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, never easy in the SEC, but I really like that middle infield. I think Robert Moore is probably the best defensive second baseman and very easily could be playing shortstop. I know he was playing some in the fall over at short. So yeah, I agree that middle infield for Arkansas is pretty talented. So one team that I want to talk about a little from the top 10 is TCU. So TCU is a team that in recent years we've come to expect making it to Omaha. And last year wasn't as strong for them, but this year I think the expectations are back to kind of where they set the bar, getting back to Omaha. So if anyone benefited from the extra year of eligibility plus the shortened draft, it was TCU. So they lost no one to the short draft and had no undrafted free agents signed. So they're returning basically their entire team, starting with their rotation. They get all three guys back from that rotation, including senior Charles King, they have Johnny Ray, Russell Smith. And I think the exciting thing for Horned Frog fans is there's decent odds that that actually isn't their starting rotation this year because they have so many talented guys competing for a spot. Jim Schlossnagel said Austin Krobe is probably the breakout pitcher to watch, and that if the season were to start today, there'd be pretty good odds he would be in that rotation. You also have Riley Cornelio, who's really projectable, and a lot of other arms that are exciting. I think the biggest question mark for the Frogs is whether or not their offense is going to get it done. Last year, their offense was perhaps opportunistic. They won some games while putting together a solid offense. They batted 260 or so and had four guys who all batted over 300 who were all coming back. But they had a couple of guys that didn't quite perform to a high standard. And to that end, Schlossnagel was pretty excited about a couple freshmen, including Cam Brown and some others who he thinks will be playing a pretty big role as position players and likely will be starting for him in 2021. All right, so I don't want to go through every other team in our top 50, but I do want to give you a chance, Kyle, to touch on another team that you're excited about somewhere in that top 50. So who else do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I really like Texas State. They always have a fun non-conference because they play a lot of the local Texas teams, and there are a lot of that area in the Power Five and other big teams in that area, and they usually compete pretty well in those games. This is their second season under new head coach Stephen Trout, after Ty Harrington retired after 20 good years with the Bobcats. They won 2019 regular season for the Sun Belt, and they fell short in the conference tournament. And they also finished 2020 strong with a 7-game win streak, including a rout of Baylor. So they have some high hopes coming into this year. Another fun thing to talk about with Texas State is that the Sun Belt has released their schedules for this year. So we have some schedules to talk about. The Sun Belt will play 24 conference games, but Texas State starts the year against BYU. A series against BYU. And then they also get to play TCU, Texas Tech, and Rice in the Shriners Classic down in Houston. They also have a weekend series with University of Houston at home in San Marcos. And then they play all of the Power Five teams in Texas, except for Baylor, it looks like, including hosting A&M and Texas. So they have some really big games to look forward to, including their Sun Belt Conference games. For the talent, I really like they bring back two of their two top starters from last year, Zach Lee and Travis Sundgren, and they have a few young arms to push who will likely make a push for that third spot, including Cam Bush. He was a bullpen guy in 2020, but he had some really, really good appearances with like a 0.77 ERA in those few appearances. So look for him to do really well. And then they also bring back a bunch of really good batters from 2020, including Jackson Williams. He didn't admittedly have a great 2020 season, but coaches have said that he's done really, really well in the fall, and look for him to make a huge push to maybe even be conference player of the year.
Yeah, I really like that Texas State team. In 2019, we actually had them about the same position that we do right now at the end of the season. So we have them at 44 heading into the 2021 season. But in 2019, I know we had them as one of the last teams in our regional projection. And that might have just been wishful thinking because I really wanted to see that team make a regional. And they ended up just left out of the regional. So
they likely would have made it in if they won a few more games in their conference tournament. It was really close.
They were, it was heartbreaking, I think, in my opinion, for them. I think that they were definitely worthy of a regional bid. I like that pick. The team that I want to talk a little bit more about is a team that we have at number 38 right now in our rankings, and that is Alabama. And I think it's easy to start with Alabama is to look at their Friday night ace, Connor Prelip. I think he is one of the most exciting arms in the SEC. He's a 6'3" lefty who had just an absolutely absurd freshman year in 2020. He threw 21 innings with no earned runs allowed, perfect 3-0 record. He is a type of guy that is a difference maker, and I think is someone that is really going to help elevate Alabama as a program. So we have Alabama at 38. They are still, despite that ranking, last in the SEC West in our current rankings. But this is not the type of Alabama team that maybe we would expect in the last year or two, where they might finish last, but they're going to be a really solid team, and I think have the potential to build a regional resume, especially if they can get some wins in those cross divisional games. So I like that Alabama team a lot.
That's the deepest division in college baseball. There aren't many divisions, admittedly, but that is 1-7. That is one of the toughest places to play.
Yeah, absolutely absurd. We've come to expect it, and it's true again for the 2021 season. All right, last thing I want to do with our rankings. So we ranked 50 teams, but in that spreadsheet, we had around 100 teams that we were considering. And there's a lot of people out there who might be bitter that their team didn't make it in, and we get it. This is the year where college baseball is deeper than ever. More teams deserve to be ranked. And the reality is that someone's going to prove us wrong. Someone's going to come out of nowhere. Someone is going to win a few games and all of a sudden deserve to be ranked. And I want to hear your prediction, Kyle, for who's that team going to be that comes from outside the top 50 and makes an appearance in the top 25.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about this. Some of those teams, they probably won't be from those really deep conferences, but it's going to take a lot of wins against teams that are more talented than them. So we're probably going to see it from the teams in conferences that we don't have as deep as like the SEC or the ACC. So that's going to include like the Pac-12, the American Athletic Conference. So for me, I'm going to pick Houston. They had a little bit of a bad 2020, but they bring back a ton of JUCO guys, or they brought in a ton of JUCO guys, including a player. Oh, and then they had a really good player named Ryan Hernandez, who was the Texas Collegiate Player of the Year in 2020, I believe. And they have a ton of arms, and they've been one of the most consistent teams historically in the AAC since 2014. They have tied for the most conference tournament championships with ECU. So they're a team that every year looks to push for the American Conference crown. So I expect to see them. They could jump in really quick into the top 25. We just have too many teams to pick from to be at the top 50, like John said.
Yeah, I think Ryan Hernandez for sure is a really interesting guy. he was one of the few guys who had summer baseball, right? The Texas Collegiate League was one of the few leagues that actually was able to happen this last summer. And he really stood out there. I talked to head coach Todd Whitting, and basically we agreed that that was a national coming out for Ryan Hernandez. Todd Whitting said that they knew internally that he was a really good hitter, and he went and competed against a lot of talented guys, a lot of Texas guys, right, in the Texas Collegiate League, and produced. So that's someone that Houston's pretty excited about. And I like that pick. I think the top four teams in the American, East Carolina, Tulane, UCF, and then I think Houston is right there for sure, as a team that could compete for that American crown. So it's really hard for me to pick just one team here. So I think the Pac-12 is one of the most intriguing conferences in terms of who's going to break through. Because, I mean, right now we know UCLA is going to be really good. We think Arizona is going to be good. They've been trending the right direction in terms of talent. Arizona State might take a step back because they lost so many guys, but it's still probably going to be a pretty good team. But, you know, after that, it's a little hard to find who's going to finish fourth, fifth in the Pac-12, and someone has to do it. So Oregon State has a guy like Kevin Abel coming back from Tommy John surgery. And, you know, you think there's reason to believe that Oregon State might be pretty solid next year. And we did end up ranking them at 46 in our top 50. But that's the last Pac-12 team we have ranked. And there's a whole host of Pac-12 teams there that I think could really be right in there, including Stanford, USC, Washington. USC is actually a team that we originally had in our top 50 as we were beginning conversations. But frankly, they just didn't get to practice very much in the fall. LA County shut a lot of things down, and we think that doesn't bode well for them. But if they get off to maybe a little bit of a slow start and then start winning some games down the stretch, that's the type of team that might break into the top 25. Stanford had a really down 2020, but just the year before they were in a super regional. They're bringing a really talented group of guys in this year. And the expectation at Stanford for sure is making regionals and super regionals. So that's another type of team that I could see doing really well. I like your Houston pick. I like South Alabama, Sam Houston State. Both of them have really super talented top one or two round type of players. For South Alabama, it's Ethan Wilson, outfielder, who is, I think, going to be a guy playing in the big league someday. And I think he is a real impact player, Colton Cowser from Sam Houston State. And yeah, one player is not going to totally carry a team, but both of those teams also have a tradition and enough talent that it wouldn't be shocking to see them make a good run and put together a resume that gets them into the top 25. All right. In other news in college baseball, everyone's curious about scheduling. And originally in the fall, it was really up in the air what was going to happen. Some conferences were talking about getting rid of non-conference play, getting rid of midweek games. And to be honest, things were looking a little grim for a while there. It was a little concerning. Recently, though, things seem to be going in the other direction. Things seem to be trending positively. The SEC is looking like it's going forward with a normal schedule. The Big 12 is looking like at least including non-conference games. Still up in the air whether they're going to do 3 or 4 game weekends, but trending in the right direction. ACC is doing a 50 game schedule, which includes expanded conference play, but does have non-conference play. And the Pac-12, the American, both look like they're going to be having non-conference play, among other conferences, Big West, several others. But there are two conferences that have announced no non-conference play for the season. One is the Metro Atlantic, but the other is the Big Ten. And for the Metro Atlantic, I think that can make sense. They're a one-bid league. They're not expecting to get at-large bids. let's just duke it out, do conference play, send the best team on to a regional. And that's a type of plan I think is going to work well for them. Maybe save some money along the way. But for the Big Ten, I think that's a little bit trickier. And Kyle, I want to know your thoughts. What are the ramifications, do you think, of the Big Ten potentially not doing non-conference games? And do you think, I still think that they might turn around and reverse that decision. But what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, they could turn it around. We've seen this in football this past year, and football seasons in the Big 12. Obviously, most conferences didn't play any non-conference. Maybe like the ACC and the Big 12 played one game each. But in football, you saw that teams, it was hard to rank those teams that weren't just that everyone knew beforehand were the top teams. So if like we have one team, Big Ten, one team from the Big Ten in the top 50, and they're pretty low. So it's going to be hard.
I'm sure we have two teams in the, from the Big Ten.
Two teams.
Indiana and Michigan. But yeah, your point still stands.
Yeah. So it's going to be hard to look at some of those teams from outside of the top 50 when they're only playing each other. They're just going to beat up on each other. So like, for example, this year in football, LSU didn't have a good year based on their standards, but they only went 5-5. If they took out two of those conference games that they played and added in non-conference, they could have gone 9-3. And that's a much better season than 5-5 looks. So the teams, based on the record, good. And RPI, don't even get me started. That's just going to be a mess. That's going to be hard to figure out RPIs for the Big Ten teams. Yeah, like a good note about the Metro Atlantic, like you said, they're just going to duke it out for number one. Big Ten has consistently had two or three, maybe even four in the last few years tournament. So that might not be as good for them. And it's going to be more expensive to travel to all of those like faraway games. Like if Nebraska has to play Rutgers, that's a really long bus drive. Because we also talked, I think, at some point this week about how they're probably not going to allow flights, so it'll be pretty hard.
Yeah, definitely a headache planning travel plans the Big Ten right now. And I mean my instinct from like a fairness perspective is, how do you put 4, 5, 6 Big Ten teams in the conference if we just don't know how they compare to other schools? I think the reality is they built up a brand that their baseball is at least pretty solid at this point. And that the all likelihood is, you know, number three Big Ten team probably could win a game or two in a regional. I would be shocked if they get fewer than 3 or 4 teams in. But at the same time, I mean, if I was a Texas State team that won the regular season and I got snubbed for, you know, a 500 conference Big Ten team that didn't have any non-conference games, like, I would be pretty upset about that. So, you know, yeah. I just, it's going to be interesting to see how that gets handled at the end of the season.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So I want to wrap things up with talking about week one. So opening weekend in college baseball is February 19th, just over a month away. Is it four Fridays without baseball before we get opening day? So exciting. And at this point, we've gotten about around a dozen or so games that have been officially announced for that opening weekend. So we've seen some ACC schedules coming out, but all that starts the second week of the year. So we have fewer opening weekend series that have been nailed down, but we do have a few to look at. And Kyle, give me one of the weekend series that starts the year off that you're excited about.
I'm looking forward to all of them, of course. So I'll be taking off work that day to watch all these games. But
absolutely.
One series that looks like a lot of fun is Cincinnati at Clemson. So we have Clemson at number 31 in our rankings. And they bring back most of the players from last year, from a pretty good team last year too, but they lost their rotation. I think all three pitchers in their rotation. So they could end up jolting into our top 25 if they figure out the rotation. but they bring back a lot of offense. So that could be a team to watch to jump into the top 25. And Cincinnati, they won the conference tournament 2 years ago in the AAC. And they went to the NCAA tournament and knocked out Oregon State, host Oregon State, in two games. They beat them twice. So a team that made the conference, made the NCAA tournament 2019 for the first time in 45 years, that's a team to get excited for the future. So this year could be really fun, 2021 for Cincinnati to make the AAC even deeper.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting team for sure. We like talking about some of those big names in the American. And yeah, I mean, it's easy to forget that the last team to win the American Conference tournament was Cincinnati, and they went and knocked out the defending national champs on their home field. And that was, you know what, the fifth or sixth best team in the conference. So, I mean,
yeah,
a testament to the American right there, I think.
Yeah, true.
And I think, so if you take that series, the series I want to talk about is number 45, UConn at number 10, Virginia. It's, as of right now, the only ranked matchup that we've seen announced. Some really interesting storylines there is we think Virginia is trending the right direction in terms of talent. They're just a talent hotbed. It's just absolutely ridiculous the degree of talent they have there. And obviously, I mean, they've won a national championship in the last decade, and they're a team that expects to compete at that level. I think UConn is really interesting. So they just left the American and rejoined the Big East. And while I think that decision makes a whole lot of sense for them, I think regionally speaking, they have rivalries with St. John's and Seton Hall and these Northeast schools. And it's going to make travel so much easier. They're not going to have to be flying to South Florida and Central Florida and all these Houston, you know, these places that are 3-4 hour flights or whatever. It makes a lot of sense in terms of geography and money. But I mean, the Big East is a solid baseball conference, but it's not on the same level as the American. And if UConn wants to have the same level of success that they had in the American as they do in the Big East, they're going to need to win some non-conference games. So, so far UConn has announced this series, they're also going to Southern Miss and to Texas Tech. So I think they recognize that they need to have really big non-conference series. And this is going to be opening weekend, their first test. If they go out and win 2 out of 3 or even 1 out of 3 at Virginia, I think that's going to put them right on the path for being the Big East favorites, but also having a chance maybe to get an at-large bid if they were to slip up in the Big East and end up in, you know, not winning that tournament. So this is a big one for Virginia to see if their claim back in the top 10 is legit, but it's also big for UConn to see if they're going to be able to have the same success in the Big East.
UConn also scheduled a series at Southern Miss.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun too. They have three really fun series announced this year, at least.
Yeah, they have 10 games right now against teams in our top 30. So they, and actually they've only released 10 games from their schedule. So far they're 10 for 10. They're not messing around with non-conference play. Obviously a big chunk of that's going to be their Big East schedule, which we have no other teams in the Big East ranked right now. But even if they were to stop there, I think that non-conference schedule is definitely good enough for them to feel pretty confident that, you know, they go, I don't think they have to go 500 in that. All those games are on the road. I think they can probably win 3 or 4 of those games and be in a pretty solid RPI position.
Yeah, that's a team that has figured out the RPI system. Just getting road games against big Power 5 teams, that really helps.
Yeah, and I mean, some of it's necessity, right? No one's going to want to play a home game at UConn in February. Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Well, that wraps up all we had. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on our social media. We're at College Ball Nat on Instagram and Twitter. Collegebaseball.info is our website. If you like this, share it with your friends. Subscribe. Give us a review. All of those things help us in terms of expanding our reach. But I'm really excited for this season, and I'm glad that you joined us for this.